WDEE at 107.7 FM, W299 CD, Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry signing a new law requiring the Ten Commandments be displayed in public school classrooms statewide.
The first in the nation law was drafted by Republican legislators and mandates that a poster-sized Ten Commandments display in, quote, large, easily readable font will be required in all public classrooms from kindergarten to the university level. Opponents question the law's constitutionality, warning that lawsuits are likely to follow, but supporters say the purpose of the measure is not only religious, but that it has historical significance. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
Extreme heat prompting both health and air quality warnings in the Midwest and Northeast. In western states, fire crews battling wildfires. And Alberto, the first named tropical storm of this hurricane season, could bring flooding to South Texas. In Dallas today, residents and local leaders held a march marking Juneteenth, when enslaved people in Texas finally learned they were free, 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Donald Trump campaigning in Racine yesterday, making his usual points about crime, foreign policy, and the economy.
None of this stuff would have been happening that's happened now with Russia and Ukraine and the attack on Israel. None of it would have been happening. We would have had a thing called inflation. That would have been nice, too.
Trump returns to Wisconsin for the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee in about a month. Summer in Wisconsin means county fairs. This year, cattle need to be tested and cleared for bird flu before being shown. Bird flu has turned up in dairy cows in other states, but so far, not Wisconsin. Public health officials say it's an opportunity for farmers to sharpen their safety practices. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
With news from the center, I'm Joanne Krulatz. 12 tribal nations, county, and municipal law enforcement agencies have received grants from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services for projects to prevent and reduce the dangers of opioid use. The projects include community drug disposal systems, programs that keep people with an opioid use disorder out of jail, education and training for staff on the medications for opioid use disorder, including how the medications are used as part of a treatment program, and treatment for jail residents with an opioid use disorder. The grant recipients include the Crawford County Sheriff's Office receiving $1,000 to support community drug disposal systems, the Madison Police Department received $183,500 for programs to keep people with an opioid use disorder out of jail, and the Sparta Police Department received $250,000 for programs to keep people with an opioid use disorder out of jail. And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Brewers win with a spectacular catch. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 6-3 victory over the Angels. Down by three, the Angels' Taylor Ward took the ball deep to center field, but there was Sal Frelick to take it in on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
It's the 1-2 pitch. That ball's driven deep right center field. Frelick is there. He leaps and he makes the catch. Oh my goodness. What a play.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
It's interesting. We had a conversation in outfield for the game. I talked to two of their players. They were doing a drill. Let me ask you guys something. Is it me or we've had more robbed home runs this year than ever in the existence of the game? And they're like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, yes, we have too. And then the game ends like this tonight.
And Willie Mays has died. In his first ever at bat, Mays hit a home run off Braves pitcher Warren Spahn. He was named to the All-Star team 24 times. Willie Mays was 93. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers and thunderstorms are possible. Partly sunny skies and highs in the upper 70s. For tonight, scattered showers and storms and a low of 65. Mostly cloudy, 78 on Thursday with an isolated thunderstorm. For Friday, scattered storms and a high near 87.
Currently, 75 degrees.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes. Good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Matt Mayer on air.
I've never played this game. Uno is great because kids can play against adults without being overmatched, and adults can play it together and still have fun.
Robert from McFarland flipped a table during an Uno game.
Maybe this is why I don't play these games.
Oh, I would love to play Uno with you.
You want to have an Uno fest?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
We could, like, have an Uno fest for charity or something?
That'd be cool.
Matt Mayer on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in for a special hump day edition of the Devil's Advocates radio show. Crude and I will get over our Shark Week hangover in one day.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6. News from the center. WRCE.
I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy Juneteenth. Small point of fact. Guess where in the United States slavery is still legal? It's not a trick question.
In the prison system?
Yes. You can still be forced into labor in some state prison systems. That's not to mention what it must be like in many state prisons in the South. No air conditioning, no windows, no moving air. And it's 100 plus degrees for days and days and days. It's 102 degrees in Maine, for crying out loud.
On top of that, they're overpopulated and understaffed, which means, guess what? They're on lockdown more often than they're not, which means they're in their cell being hot, getting angry, and kind of being tortured.
Well, and it's not even the being hot, because I can imagine a bunch of people screaming at their radio saying, well, they did something wrong. They can be uncomfortable. This isn't uncomfortable. This is, it could kill you. It's so hot that your heart's going to stop if you have any kind of medical conditions. And oh, by the way, there are two groups of people in this country, only two, that are guaranteed medical care by our governments. Those are folks that are incarcerated, human beings that are incarcerated, and our military. Guess who were not so great at all at providing any reasonable level of medical care to?
Both.
One could argue it's both, but I assure you that the far worse medical care, the worst place that you would ever want to be if you have a serious medical condition, is in any sort of incarceration setting in the United States. It is worse abroad. I'm talking about in the United States. But I have a question for the listening audience, and it is this. The New York Times, an article that just came out today at about 1:30, says that Congress is weighing proposals to update mandatory conscription, including by expanding it to women for the first time and automatically registering those eligible to be called up. Yeah.
I would argue that the first time people really started saying F you to the government was during the last forced draft. For a war that most people would say, maybe we were, but at least we recognize their sacrifice for the reasons of.
Yes. So my question to everybody out there, let me be clear at the outset. This is not a reinstatement of the draft. Okay, it would be an expansion in two different ways of what is basically the mandatory selective service registration, right? Currently, that only happens to men between the ages of 18 and 25. It is the list of people who could be subject to mandatory military service through a draft if we needed to do that. Now, why is this happening now? Two reasons. Military recruitment is way down. The only two branches of the military that hit their recruiting goals in 2023 were the Marines and Space Force. Yep, I said it, Space Force.
Space Force!
And at this point in time, only 1% of all Americans have ever had any kind of military service. So what you've got is this massive recruitment problem. We've got an upcoming demographic problem, just fewer people being born. And guess what we just talked about last hour? This increasing return to Cold War era threat levels. This Cold War era axis of evil amongst Iran, China, South Korea, and Russia. Active, potentially explosive conflicts in two areas of the world, being Gaza, the Mideast, of course, and Ukraine. So our overall threat level, right, the overall specter of potential actual ground troop military engagement is probably higher now than it has been in the last 25 years. And at the same time, we're basically having a problem in this country fielding enough bodies to have a standing army. That's why they're having this discussion. So again, this is not, we're going to return to the draft. It is a change to the basically the mandated selective service registration, which is the comprehensive list of people in the age range of 18 to 25 who could be mandatorily drafted into military service if our nation went to war. They're considering expanding that in two ways. One, to include women. Two, so that the registration is automatic. What do you all think about this? Let's just run a hypothetical. I want to know what each one of you think. Should women be subject to the draft? Let's assume, and heaven forbid this, that at some point in the next 20 years, the United States is actually involved in some sort of personnel dependent military engagement with Russia or North Korea or Iran, and that we need more troops. Do you think women should be subject to the draft? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Should women be subject to the draft? By the way, mandatory military service is part of what occurs in Israel. That includes women. It basically always has.
A buddy of mine who's a regular at the bar, didn't show up for a year or two or so. And we were like, why are you here? He's like, well, I went back to Israel to go and, renew my citizenship. And it turns out I had to serve.
Yeah. Couldn't leave.
Wasn't allowed to leave. He called his dad. His dad was like, yep, good luck with that.
The other proposal is to expand the maximum age for the application of the draft from 25 to 26. Currently, it sits at 18 to 25. So three things: mandatory registration for a potential draft, including women, and raising the age from 25 to 26. What do you think? Should women be subject to the draft? I want to hear from you. Mark from Prairie du Sac, you've been very patient. You're on the air. What do you have to say?
Yeah, thanks so much. Yeah, in conjunction with that, I mean, they should make it should be automatic registration to vote. So if we're expecting people to sign up to serve, they should also be, we should also recognize their right as a citizen of the United States to participate in our electoral system. Getting back to what you were asking before the break, I mean, it is clear that this new thing is a threat to the United States. Donald Trump, from what I've been reading, Donald Trump was being groomed by the Russians as far back as the 1980s, and that hoping that they could use him to get into more involved into American politics.
You mean exactly what they are right now, Mark? I mean, if anything, Donald Trump has been the absolute perfect patsy, the perfect Manchurian candidate for exactly what Vladimir Putin has been planning to do to destabilize the United States for 25 years. Please continue.
Exactly. I mean, that, and what disturbs me even more is the formal Cold Warriors, you know, such as Ron Johnson and company, who are so sympathetic, seems to me so sympathetic to the Russian Federation and to likely North Korea and to China and to, you know, our adversaries, except for Iran, for some reason. I think what gets them there is those are Muslims, and it, so that
of course underlying racism.
But as far as that goes, I mean that I just it just boggles my mind that these same people who, were Ronald Reagan's, you know, accolades back in the day, and it was Russia was the evil empire, and now they are embracing it. And let's remember where Ron Johnson spent the 4th of July in 2018, the contacts between, like, Rand Paul.
Yes.
You know, running over with something there. And what happened to that briefings binder?
Yeah, from Helsinki, right? That's so what Mark is talking about, that in that Helsinki, and hey, Brian, if you've got the sound from Helsinki, we're going to listen to it again. Donald Trump met with Vladimir Putin. Anytime this happens, when two heads of state, including the American president, are meeting, someone is there taking notes. They're not necessarily made public, but someone there takes notes about what is said, generally from each country. That set of notes from the Donald Trump-Putin meeting back in 2018, yeah, that disappeared. Weird. Because
I believe they dismissed her.
Yeah, they sent her out of the meeting. And that meeting, Donald Trump walks out of, and this is what he has to say.
So I have great confidence in my intelligence people, but I will tell you that President Putin was extremely strong and powerful in his denial today.
His denial of interference in the U.S. elections, of the dissemination of misinformation. Yeah, what? And by the way, Ron Johnson, yeah, he voted against the Ukraine funding package. Ron Johnson is a Vladimir Putin lackey. So Gary from Sussex, I hope you're still listening. If you believe that Vladimir Putin poses a threat to the United States, I guess that means you're going to be voting for Tammy Baldwin.